Todd, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, guys. I can't keep tabs on everything that's going on around college football. It has officially become anarchy throughout the SEC and in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Well, I'm a Western Union, some money. Make sure you put my picks on. Okay?
Western Union? That is really funny. I didn't even know there still was a Western Union.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It still
that's exists. The only way you can prove a record at this point if you go with cash.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all about sending money FedEx through envelopes. Bookies have done it for years, and you'd figure that a lot of these schools would try and find a creative way to keep the money off the books, but apparently the gambling industry one step ahead of the college recruiting game.
Oh, man. Well, we'll we'll hit that story again in just a little bit. But, okay, so the big game, obviously, Texas A&M and Alabama. Kind of a high line there?
You know what? This number in the game of the year lines when the Las Vegas Hilton and the Golden Nugget put out the prices was about 6.5, 7. So not a huge surprise that it comes out at 7.5, given some concerns about what we've seen through the first two games from Texas A&M's defense. Rice and Sam Houston State had plenty of success. The one thing, when you look at Nick Saban, the revenge, the extra time to prepare, you have to figure that he's going to make a jump from the lethargic offensive effort we saw against Virginia Tech, 11 first downs, 200 yards. But the real concern, you know, will they have a game plan in place to stop Johnny Manziel? Bettors clearly think so. We're seeing about 70 to 75% of the early action all coming in on Alabama.
Interesting. Tennessee at Oregon, it opened at 20. I see as high as 28 now.
Yep, 28 the prevailing number now, and I know I spoke to JT a little bit over the weekend about it. Figured 28 should have been where the number started. I think it's going to go up a little bit higher. Tennessee's strength is the offensive line. Really don't think that matters, though, when you talk about limited options at the skill positions. They're not going to be able to match Oregon score for score, and really believe the Ducks want to try and take this as an opportunity to make a statement against an SEC opponent, so I don't see them taking their foot off the gas if it's a lopsided game late in the fourth quarter.
What about the Vanderbilt game? I know it opened around 11, and since it's kind of run up a little bit, is it still short of two touchdowns, or where's that line sitting?
It is just a half point short right now, Clay. You're looking at a price of 13.5, the over-under at 51.5. Real interesting, though, when you look at Vanderbilt's offensive output the last four meetings against South Carolina. It's been nothing short of I don't even know what the best adjective to describe it is because it's been non-existent. You look at South Carolina, though, power number-wise, they should be about a 17-point favorite in this game, but you really have to wonder where they are from a mentality standpoint. Probably had their national championship aspirations dashed last week against Georgia. It's anyone's guess as to what we'll get out of the Gamecocks in this bounce-back spot.
What about Tennessee Titans coming in here? They get the big upset win on Sunday, maybe the biggest upset that happened on the first day, and there is now, obviously, an 8-point line, whatever it is. The Texans coming off a big upset, not a big upset, but a big comeback on the road at San Diego. What's the market telling us there?
Market's pretty strong on the Texans. Looking at an 8.5 and 9 as the prevailing numbers, wouldn't be surprised to see a push closer to 10. The Texans, though, as you mentioned, flying back from the West Coast, having a short week to prepare for a divisional rival. The one concern I have when you look at backing the Titans here, the weakness of the Texans' defense is their secondary. I'm not sure the Titans will be able to do enough through the air, but when you look at a price this high, I think the only way to look is at the Titans. They were a lot of professionals picked to kind of contend for the division as a dark horse based on value. They didn't disappoint week one and stifling that Steelers offense.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. You get him on Twitter if you have a question about a specific game. Maybe we don't hit at Todd Furman on Twitter.
Hey, Todd, yes, naturally a lot of people are going to be looking what's going on with Texas and the Ole Miss Texas game.
This number, David Ash listed as doubtful. Projected numbers for it with him in the starting lineup, you were figuring around 4.5. With Case McCoy, you're seeing Texas now only a 2.5-point favorite with a total of 65. Clearly, the Longhorns are in utter disarray, firing Manny Diaz and bringing Greg Robinson to handle the defensive coordinator responsibilities. But you consider last year, Texas was down in theory and still found a way to run rampshot through Ole Miss. I'm not sure I'm ready to go against the Longhorns here. If they do fall flat, you can bet against them with reckless abandon moving forward, but would be more inclined to go over the total. I think both teams will have some success. It wouldn't shock me if we see both teams in the high 30s.
Well, the state of, I guess, Kentucky is going to be up in arms and probably burning some couches with the University of Louisville and Kentucky going against each other. What do you think on this one?
An interesting number, Blaine, where it opened at 11.5, I thought was way too low given that you knew the public was going to back Louisville in this spot. That number didn't last all that long. We're starting to see the first set of 14s popping up throughout Las Vegas. Little to say the professionals are going to wait as long as possible if there's any appetite to back Kentucky as this number climbs. You look at Louisville, though, and I know people have talked about how dominant they looked in their first two games. The win over Ohio now doesn't look all that impressive after watching Ohio struggle with North Texas. Beating Eastern Kentucky, not going to say that they're a national title contender by any stretch. And the in reality, this may be one of three games on Louisville's entire schedule they have a chance to make a national impression. But Kentucky, much improved from week one to week two. You know the Wildcats have had this game circled since the offseason.
Well, over to the NFL, we got the Manning brothers playing against each other this weekend. So which Manning will win?
This price opened a little bit higher than anticipated. Denver, a 6-point favorite. That number didn't last in the market either. We're seeing fours right now, but the total probably, you know, right where it should be at 55. Anticipated that the books may open a little bit lower at 52, but not quite after Denver's offensive explosion. I think you saw the Giants struggle mightily against Dallas, but the one thing you have to be optimistic about, they only lost the game by 5 points despite getting killed in the turnover battle. I think the Giants will bounce back. Not sure they have enough firepower to win, especially with concerns at running back, but I do believe they'll have a chance to cover the four.
Well, lastly, I guess the two best teams, I think, in the NFC is Seahawks versus San Francisco. Who do you think is going to win that?
Marquee matchup of the night, and you look at Seattle, this number actually dipped below 3 down to 2.5, saying that some of the guys out there may believe San Francisco is the better football team. I can't erase the memories of last year when Seattle absolutely picked apart San Francisco. You know it's going to be an electric atmosphere in the Pacific Northwest for a home opener. And I really believe some of the offensive concerns we saw last week against Carolina we can attribute to the heat. I would lean towards Seattle here, especially at under a field goal.
Do you guys do any boxing? We got Mayweather versus Canelo.
Always time to talk a little boxing.
Yeah,
the biggest fight here in town, and they're projecting it to be one of the biggest weekends that we'll see in the calendar year outside of some of the major holidays, especially with Mexican Independence Day. You're looking at Floyd Mayweather, a -270 favorite, meaning you have to put up $2.70 to make back a dollar. Canelo Alvarez, though, definitely the fan favorite at +230. Really believe, though, this is a contrast in styles. Floyd's speed will be way too much, and unless he opens up defensively and Canelo lands a shot, I think Floyd will take this thing the distance and end up winning in a decision.
Did you hit Texas and Ole Miss?
We did in the quick whip around. I know it was a lot to try and take in.
Well, we're trying to read this Yahoo story, too. Also, USC.
No, I haven't talked about USC. Clearly the most disappointing effort of any team in Division I, I think, last weekend. When you talk about being a 17-point favorite against Washington State and losing a game outright, despite the fact that Cougars couldn't muster an offensive touchdown, they opened a 16.5-point favorite against BC. That number came crashing down to 14. BC, from the defensive side, I think will give USC a ton of problems. There's a reason this total is 42. And until I see more quarterback play out of Wittick and Kessler, that makes me think they're consistent with some of the greats at USC. Laying double digits with the Trojans is going to be a recipe for disaster.
You're saying that Cougars had trouble scoring in Los Angeles last week?
The Cougars did have trouble scoring in Los Angeles. As difficult and hard to believe as it was to say that.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, guys.